Well, I've shared with many of you that I was able to read many books my time away, those many months, it seems like. Well, I guess it was many months, but I also had many people give me books, things I guess that had meant something to them and made an impact on them. And I read a couple of them, I suppose, but I had my own list that kind of grew. But the very first book I read was one that was given to me. And the title caught my attention the day it was brought in, but I wasn't able to read for quite a while, and it laid on my bookstand. But it was a book called Don't Waste Your Life. Has anybody heard of it? Some of the, I know, governing board and staff certainly have heard it because I've shared some of this stuff with them already. But it's written by John Piper. You might know his name in our area here, Bethlehem Baptist Church. Quite a prolific author and so forth. And the title really says it all. It's a very challenging book, and he challenges people, Christians, don't waste your life. I'm going to share a little bit to give you a flavor of the book. Piper writes, Reader's Digest, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago. He was 59, she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. At first, when I read it, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof on the American dream. Tragically, it was not a joke. This was the dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious, God-given life, and let the last great work of your life, before you give an account to your Creator, be this: playing softball and collecting shells. That's a tragedy. People today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace this tragic dream. Over against that, I put my protest. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. Too harsh? I suppose it depends. But I think in some ways it might sound like Jesus from today. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. But I suppose we could say, and we certainly can, that we don't know this couple's faith, whether they have faith or don't have faith. It's very possible they do have a faith and that they have a rich relationship with God. They might be involved in the church and all of that, but that's the key, a rich relationship with God by grace through faith. I'd like to think about two different people, in fact, and this is, I think it's a great book, but I think this book also has a danger side to it. And I'll tell you what I mean. Imagine two people standing before the Lord on that great judgment day. And maybe the first one is a couple like that we just heard. What do you have? What's your given account for yourself? And they say, look at my shells or whatever. But then let's picture a different couple standing there, or a person. And maybe this person is the Mother Teresa of her community. She's all about good works. It's all she does. It's good. She helps the poor. She gives away all her money. It's all she does. Aren't they both the same before God? They are. All of us need Jesus. We need a rich relationship with the Lord. Our culture, and sadly, I think even our churches sometimes put forth the idea of that Mother Teresa type, that somehow we earn our own salvation. Our good works somehow give us favor before the Lord. It's just simply not true. Paul reminds us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you see it frequently, even in newspaper studies and so forth, magazines, where people are asked, Well, you're not a believer, but what happens if you die and there is a God? Then what? What do they typically say? I'm a pretty good person. I mean, if there's a God, I'll go to heaven, I think. Again, it's not about our good works. It's about Jesus. It's about a relationship with Him, a rich relationship with Him. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. There's no doubt that the Piper's words in his book has a lot of truth in it. I mean, there's no doubt there's advertising, there's really the American dream, really, as he described, it's there. We're encouraged to spend our billions, or to spend our money to get people billions, and to somehow just go and live out the days, just like the rich fool in our story today. Eat, drink, and be happy. Remember that bumper sticker that was around a few years ago, probably a long time ago, but it said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Remember that one? And then it wasn't too long, we saw the counter to that. "He who dies with the most toys still dies." Remember that one? But the Scriptures warn us of the danger of riches. There is danger in riches. Later in our gospel chapter, Luke writes these words, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And Matthew adds that we cannot serve both God and money. And again, from our reading today, "Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." They don't save us, but they can get in the way. Our good works, our rich relationship with God. Apostle Paul explains it this way, 1 Timothy 6. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." Life that is truly life. A rich relationship with God. Piper includes these words in his book, "God created us to live with a single passion, a single passion, to joyfully display His supreme excellence in all spheres of life. The wasted life is one without this passion." Without this single-minded passion. Demonstrating that true life or this passion comes from living in a rich relationship with Him. This is going to lead to our desire to want to passionately live for Him, but to also live for the things that matter to Him. Bringing glory to the Lord through everything that we do, but also this. God our Savior desires for everyone to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. This is our purpose, really. Our mission in life, to live with single-minded focus on the Lord, but also to be engaged in His mission. Piper really gets on at the end of, towards the end of his book, and he talks about that this is probably the only cure for the church today. And he writes this, "J. Campbell White showed his generation that a passion for missions was not only the way to save the world, but also to save the church." Quoting White, Piper continues, "The effort to evangelize the world presents the speediest and surest methods of saving the church. Our material resources are so stupendous that we are in danger of coming to trust in riches rather than God. If a man is growing large in wealth, nothing but constant giving can keep him from growing small in soul. The evangelization of the world is the only enterprise large enough and important enough to provide an adequate outlet for the church's wealth. Hard and challenging, but truth. Our rich relationship with the Lord includes this mission. You know, this mission and our good works don't save us. We know that. But that doesn't mean that we neglect the mission. We are to be about good works and this mission, this wonderful mission of making much about God out there, bringing them in here. This is such an awesome church, a wonderful church. God has blessed this community, continues to bless this community. And I would say that God's not done with us here. He's not finished. Now we're called to be out there making much of Him, bringing people here. We need to celebrate what we're about. Be in a place where guests become friends. Friends become family. Not only part of this family, but the family of God. That's what we're called and challenged to do. That's how we're challenged each week when we say our vision statement at the end. Our vision is to do what? Reach our friends and neighbors with what? The truth, love, and hope of Jesus while growing as His disciples. It's part of who we are. It's part of our rich relationship with God. We worship Him in all we do. We make much of Him. But we invite people. They become our guests. Through our time here, through our love of them, they become friends. And then finally, they become part of the family. Let's not waste our God-given lives, our God-given opportunity to be the church right here. Right here at Mount Hope, the mountain of hope that we are.